Goodness gracious, has so much happened since we last spoke right here on the Overreaction Monday podcast. So much to overreact to. Rich Eisen along with Chris Brockman. Good to see you on this weekend,
sir. What's
up,
brother? How are you?
It is brought to you by today's episode of Overreaction Monday, as they all have been. Brought to you by Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. The code that's on our YouTube screen, and I will read to all those listening to wherever you get your podcasts right here on Overreaction Monday, is the code Overreaction. Open an account, download the Game Time app after you create an account, and use that code for $20 off your first purchase. More information on that still to come right here on this show. Kirk Cousins blows out his Achilles. Will Levis shows up and throws for four touchdown passes.
How?
There is so much to overreact to, so it is time. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, how many of these do you have?
I got 11, baby. 11. Let's do it.
Yes.
All right, first up, it's perfect that tomorrow is Halloween because Brock Purdy has turned back into a seventh-round pumpkin.
Ooh. Great name for a fantasy team.
Not bad.
He's not a pumpkin.
He's still
a carriage.
Sure.
He's just a carriage that's hit a few potholes in the road. I know you accuse him of, or me, of looking at him as my third son or fourth son, depending on where Baker Mayfield is behind the actual sons.
Exactly.
And Xander and Cooper. No, sir. What he is doing is proving that he's human. He's not bot Purdy, as Kyle Brandt has said.
Yep.
He is human, that the guy makes mistakes, that we have not seen him make mistakes. We have not seen him make these types of throws. He's got 6 turnovers in the last 3 games, all of them losses, in the same way that perhaps he shouldn't have gotten all of the, kudos for winning all those games. He's getting a lot of the blame that I think is equally as unwarranted. And, I don't think he's the wrong guy when you say he's turned into a pumpkin, that he's just the same old dude. And I still think that he will prove to be a perfect weapon for this offense when it is all said and done. Let's get Trent Williams back in. Let's get Deebo Samuel back in. And if they continue to lose football games, by the way, their next game is against Jacksonville at Jacksonville after both come off of a week 9 bye, then I'll say I'm concerned. But right now, you can't sit here and say he's just a seventh-round pumpkin and that he's no more than that. I'm sorry.
He's not an MVP candidate.
That is correct.
He's not in the top 10 in the NFL.
That is correct. In the same way, but he was playing like one at the time. And I truly thought that he would continue to perform in that vein at that level, and I was wrong. That is correct. But to say that they can't get to where they want to go with him, or they're going to fall short of their goal because of him right now, is an overreaction.
Remember, the floor for this guy is the Super Bowl, because he replaced a guy that took him to the Super Bowl and was winning that game for 3 quarters.
I totally get it.
So they have to basically win it with this guy to make themselves look like geniuses for getting rid of Jimmy G.
They have the people in the building to do it. They have a left tackle who's going to the Hall of Fame one day when he's healthy. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have Deebo Samuel when he's healthy. They have George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. They have Nick Bosa and a defense that is definitely having issues. Somebody not named Bosa get home right now. It is a trough. It is a longer trough than I was expecting. It is part and parcel of Purdy's sudden mistake proneness that I didn't see coming. It's quite the plot twist. However, this is an overreaction as a whole.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
What else do you have, Chris?
Rich, you just mentioned this team. They play the 49ers in week 10. The Jaguars are going to be the AFC's one seed. Hot. Going into Pittsburgh yesterday.
This is possible. This is not out of the realm. But I'll call it an overreaction because I still think the Chiefs are going to be right there in the mix despite what happened
on
Sunday.
The Chiefs are giving us all, we'll get to them later.
Now, that's the problem for Jacksonville is they've lost to Kansas City.
Right.
So for them to be the one seed, they're going to have to be one game better than Kansas City. Right now, they're behind Kansas City because Kansas City and Jacksonville have the same record.
Yeah, top four teams in the AFC, all 6-2.
Correct. I don't see too many hiccups. I don't see Mahomes throwing three interceptions on the road in Vegas or on the road in Los Angeles when they come and visit the Chargers. Don't see that one coming.
Yeah, you didn't see it yesterday coming
either. I didn't see three touchdowns for Russell Wilson, three interceptions, and right. No touchdowns for Mahomes.
Right.
So I will just say again, Jacksonville is playing excellent football. Can they be the one seed? Absolutely. You are saying it definitively here, which makes it an overreaction. They're definitely going to be the one seed. I can't sit here and say that. You can make an argument for it. You know, you can make an argument for it. But that's the beautiful thing, I think, about this season. We are halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And in previous seasons, I don't recall the last time halfway through a season where it was a total shrug emoji, yeah, as to who was going to win the Super Bowl. You had sense of it. You had an idea of who the one or two teams are going to be the best chances to get to their respective conference championship podiums.
Yeah, you could probably make a case right now for what, 6, 7, 8 teams?
Well, the 4, 6, and 2 teams in the AFC.
The Eagles,
the Cowboys. You know, you could make a case for the Niners despite having lost three in a row.
I mean, through 5 weeks, they were undefeated.
And then there's the Bengals, bro, at 4-3.
They're
you
coming.
Cannot discount them at 4-3. You've got the Bills at 5-3, having just added Leonard Fournette today. And then invariably, there's going to be a 4-win team coming out of nowhere. There's the Lions as well.
True. So that's 10. That's 11.
Right. So I'll just call this an overreaction at the moment.
Weird game in Nashville yesterday. Will Levis makes his first career start, lights it up. Heinicke comes in at halftime. Ritter banged up.
Yeah.
Looked good. Heinicke looked good. Both the Titans and Falcons found their quarterbacks for the rest of the season.
I think that's spot on. You know how I felt? Like, look, you gotta give Desmond Ritter a chance.
He's had 7 weeks.
I understand he's had 7 weeks, And we just had Jared Goff on the program last week, which you can check out on our YouTube feed right here if you are watching Overreaction Monday on the At Rich Eisen Show YouTube feed. Goff said you got to give somebody 3 years. You got to give somebody 3 years before you can fully evaluate whether they're a professional quarterback.
And that does make sense, but these coaches don't have 3 years sometimes.
That is correct. That is correct. So it's really the Arthur who this is on is blank, not Smith. If you have to choose an Arthur in Atlanta who this is on, it's the owner, not the coach. Because if the owner makes the coach feel like, you know, he doesn't have the latitude,
right,
or if the coach doesn't feel like he has the latitude because he's not feeling the love or what have you, then you have to look at the landscape and go, okay, we're 4-4. So are the Saints. And the Bucks are 3-4. This thing is open right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the ups and the downs from Desmond Ridder and some of the red zone mistakes, we don't feel Heineke's going to make. And then you look at the rest of that locker room and go, for the rest of this year, we're going this way. And I don't know if Arthur Smith's going to do that. He did, in fact, say today,
yep,
when asked, you know, if Ridder's going to be the guy when healthy, he basically said, we just need to see if Ridder's healthy, guys. That's all,
right,
I'm going to go
find
right
out
there.
We'll find out Wednesday.
So,
said, yeah.
But Heineke, you know, is the guy who can come up with Heineke magic and hit you with the Heineke and take the Washington Commanders to places that the Commanders hadn't been. You know, so if I'm Atlanta, I'm tempted to do it. As for the Titans, I mean, Will Levis throws 4 touchdown passes.
Jeez.
You got to see more. I mean, you got to see more right now.
Yeah, and they're on a short week this week.
Understood. And you got to figure out, how do we get the Houston Oilers gear for us?
His arms look photoshopped.
They are not on our screen right here on our YouTube feed. They are not. He is jacked up, and he threw 4 touchdown passes, 3 of them to DeAndre Hopkins after he had 0. So, with all due respect to Ryan Tannehill coming out of a walking boot, you got to see what Will Levis has. And for Atlanta, it's a much more dicey decision that I think Arthur Smith is going to eventually just decide, I got to win a division this year. And to have the latitude for future Desmond Ridders, I need to win a division this year.
Yeah.
And I can do that with my current locker room. So I agree with you. I don't think that's an overreaction right now.
Yeah, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill real quick. Do you think the Titans field calls on him in the next
maybe? I don't know.
Hours?
We had Daniel Jeremiah on today, and he said the general sense in the league is not for Tannehill.
Interesting.
What else?
Panthers, Texans yesterday, a matchup of the first 2 quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft last year. Bryce Young gets his first career win. I'm going to say the Panthers are going to finish this year with a better record than the Texans.
That's a total, complete overreaction to just one game. Come on. I mean, the Texans have got to, the wheels have got to fall off. I don't see how the wheels fall off. They have too many talented players.
They only have a 2-win advantage. All the Panthers have to do is get to like 5-12.
I'm just going to call this an overreaction and tell you to move on because I'm not going to sit here and argue about 2 teams that could totally make us look silly because we don't know what's going on right there. I mean,
I know, but this is the only time we're really going to talk about the Panthers.
I get it. I mean, if this happens, then Bryce Young's got a chance to actually win Rookie of the Year.
But I liked what I saw from Bryce Young yesterday. I liked the moxie that they showed in winning that game.
How about this, Chris? How about, may I edit your copy?
Sure.
For a moment?
Sure.
And then you answer this question to me.
Oh.
Okay. Based on the way both Young and Stroud played yesterday, okay, with the ups and
Panthers
downs.
Panthers got it right?
No, not the Panthers got it right. Puka Nacua is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I love that. This is more of a Rookie of the Year discussion.
Correct.
I think Puka.
That if we keep seeing inconsistent play from these 2 quarterbacks,
I think Puka's got to be the front runner right now. Anyway, right?
I don't know. It's a quarter. These are quarterback driven awards. Always.
It's true
that Puka Nacua, who might, by the way, have Brett Rippon throwing him for a while.
Jeez.
So
yeah,
that's the way. Is that an overreaction? That's not an overreaction.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
Thank you. All right. What else you got over?
All right. Speaking of the Rams, they got lambasted yesterday.
Yes.
In Dallas. Mm-hmm. 11th straight home win for the Cowboys. Cowboys are the second best team in the NFC.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. No. And I know they got curb stomped in San Francisco a couple weeks ago.
But they're better than the Niners right now,
right? How about
that?
They come to California, they get smoked by the Niners, then they sweep Los Angeles, and now we're having this conversation. Oh, yeah. And
that's the CeeDee Lamb we need to see.
Yeah.
That's the Dak throwing the ball.
How about this for a hot take? That you got the Eagles and the Cowboys as your two best teams in the NFC, after what we see, but if the Lions perform as well as they perform, maybe the two best teams in the NFC are the Lions and the Cowboys. How's that for hotness? Ooh,
that's super hot, considering the way the Philly offense is kind of cooking right now.
I think Philly has the best player in the NFC in A.J. Brown.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
On offense.
Yep.
The Cowboys have the best defender in the NFC in Micah Parsons.
Sure.
Okay.
I agree with that.
The Lions may have the best team in the NFC based on how they all play together. And consistently, and I know I'm saying that coming off of a beatdown in Baltimore in advance of not knowing what they're going to do on Monday night.
Right.
But Philadelphia also has the ability to know what it takes to get where they're getting. I mean,
Philly looked like they were getting beat that whole game yesterday and then bam, turned it on.
That's what you can do. And how about them running with DeAndre Swift out of the brotherly shove.
Fake brotherly shove.
Just get now if they're going to start introducing wrinkles, now you got me at, okay, this is a real football play that is pretty damn fascinating to me every time that they get in position to run it. But you can make this case that the Cowboys are better than the Lions and that the Cowboys are better than the 49ers, assuming the Eagles are one. This I don't believe is an overreaction. That if Dallas plays like that and they have the guys to play like that, but do they have to beat Philadelphia one of their two times over the next month and a half and then take care of business. Dallas's schedule, as I've mentioned on the show, and I'll repeat it here again. Dallas, while Philadelphia, Philadelphia and Dallas play each other in week 9. Then Philly goes on a bye, at which point Dallas is home for the Giants. They got to win that one. And then Philadelphia comes off their bye. They're at Kansas City on a Monday night as Dallas is at Carolina. Got to win that one. And then Dallas welcomes in Washington on a Thanksgiving day, while Philadelphia then goes and has Buffalo in their house on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Dallas has got to gain a game that week too. Then Dallas takes on Seattle at home the week after Thanksgiving, while Philadelphia welcomes in San Francisco. And then they face each other again the following week. Dallas has Philadelphia at home on a Sunday night. And that's the tale of the tape between these two teams in this division and in this conference, because it mixes Seattle in, it mixes Philadelphia in, and Dallas is punching down, and they got to win those games, while Philadelphia has got serious battles on their hands with some serious opponents. That's essentially it for over the next month. Let's take a break right here and tell you about our friends at Game Time. We all know how frustrating it can be to find the perfect tickets for the game or concert you've been dying to see. But we all know how great it is to find tickets and how easy it is to find tickets on Game Time, and also find the actual pricing that we want to find and take all the guesswork out of buying tickets. TJ Jefferson used it to buy tickets to a local basketball game.
Yeah.
You have used it to find tickets to a local hockey game. Del Tufo has used it to go find tickets to a concert out in Vegas. It is so easy to use. We use it. That's why we're so thrilled to tell you about the Game Time offer. Download the Game Time app. Redeem the code OVERREACTION. $20 off your first purchase. Although TJ forgot to use this promo
forgot
code.
Forgot to use the code.
I mean, we got codes coming out of the lot over
everywhere.
Here with this show and What the Football and the Rich Eisen Show. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use that code OVERREACTION, two R's in overreaction, to get that $20 off your first purchase right now. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Restrictions apply. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Get back to the hot take, and Christopher,
all right,
what else
let's
you got
go.
Over
let's
there?
Go. Second half. Saints looked great yesterday.
Did they?
Winning on the road.
Did they really?
They scored more points than the other team. Isn't that the goal?
Okay, well,
that's
you said look great. Okay.
Alvin Kamara is back to form, and the Saints are going to win the NFC South.
That's not an overreaction. Alvin Kamara is definitely back to form, and Derek Carr is finding him. Derek Carr is just looking for him
everywhere.
And he is finding him, and Kamara is killing people. And We haven't even seen Jamal Williams do very Jamal Williams type things there yet.
Have not.
And the passing game with
Olave,
the receiver,
not really unlocked yet.
Well, I mean, the guy that's been doing it is Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah,
that's the guy who's been doing it. So, and he caught another big pass and Taysom Hill. Everybody thought
Taysom Hill,
dude.
Man.
Everybody thought he was a Sean Payton creation, like he was the Frankenstein that Payton
literally
created
in a lab. Just
but when I say that, it's like Payton was the only guy that knew how to use him,
right?
Or wanted to use him, or had the temerity to use him as significantly as they were using him,
right?
And that's a nice little parting gift that Sean Payton left everybody,
dude. Two touchdowns
again
as the tight end,
dude. Again. And so, you know what I would think they should do? They should create their own brotherly shove with him.
Good one.
That's what they should do.
Really smart.
You should create your own brotherly shove. You're not putting your own quarterback on the line in practice doing it. Taysom Hill, like, shove him in the direction of the defense. Get that play in your playbook and figure out, like, maybe you run it with Kamara in the same way that Philadelphia just ran it with DeAndre Swift. So that's a way in to get the offense going on short yardage situations. Don't put it on Carr's shoulder. Put it on Taysom Hill's behind, you know, and shove him going downhill and get the defense more like Saints defense. That's the only issue is we haven't really seen them in recent, like in the last month.
They
haven't been spinning up like their usual Saints spinning people up. So, but they can absolutely win this division, no doubt about it. And Kamara's back, so I don't think that's an overreaction.
I'm trying to think of nicknames of St. Louis. I mean, New Orleans style for the shove. Know. I'm trying to think of something.
What's another word for shove?
What's the French word for shove?
I don't know. The Cajun something. Come up with another
good one.
You know?
Cajun crush.
The Cajun crush.
That doesn't work.
All right. Something like that. Cram and Cajun. I don't know. Bam. Kick it up a notch. I don't know. So what else you got?
All right,
Del Tufo trying to chime in on this? What do you got
on the nicknames?
What do you got? Something with the beignets.
Okay.
I don't know, but that's got a creamy center, right? You don't want any of that.
It's all dough. It's all dough.
No. It's got to be something harder than that. But good try. Thanks for playing. Nice we have some Mike. Nice parting nice gifts try, for Mike. You. What else?
Rich, the Seahawks are going to win the NFC West.
They can.
No, there are. They're going to.
Yo, dude. You don't believe this. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. You don't believe in Geno. You're doing this just for the sake of it. Honestly, you don't believe it.
I have Kenneth Walker in fantasy. I want to know why he only got like two touches in the second half. But no, they can. They will. Jake Bobo. He's scoring touchdowns out of nowhere.
They are playing terrific football. The defense.
Zach Charbonnet more involved.
Sharpened.
They just added Leonard Williams on defense with a trade today.
That defense is a sharpening knife. I agree with you.
Weatherspoon.
I think they can win it. Jackson Smith and Jigba's found the end zone two games in a row.
That's right.
I know. DK, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Lockett.
Charbonnet. Walker.
Fant. Let's go.
And do they have 15 tight ends that you never heard of?
They have more tight ends than anyone in the league. Pete Carroll's chewing gum.
I know what he's doing. But you can't sit here and say that definitively right now. That is an overreaction to say it definitively.
They look so much better than San Francisco.
Right now they do. Sure. They play each other two times in 3 weeks. Thanksgiving night.
Buckle up.
And then 2 weeks after that. And the Seahawks have to visit Dallas in between.
Buckle up.
By the way, how about that? The Seahawks and the Niners play each other Thanksgiving night. They're in San Francisco for that one. Then Seattle goes home and faces... hold on a minute. No, Seattle has San Francisco in Seattle that night.
Thanksgiving.
Correct. Then Thursday later, they play Dallas. Then they're at San Francisco. So it goes San Francisco at Dallas, San Francisco. Meanwhile, Dallas...
Philly after.
San Francisco goes at Seattle, at Philly, Seattle. So both teams play each other in a span of 3 weeks.
And also
and
play
has
the Eagles.
Dallas and Philadelphia in between.
Oh, brutal.
That's a fact.
Maybe the three best teams in the NFC.
So Seattle goes San Francisco, Dallas, San Francisco. San Francisco goes Seattle, Philadelphia, Seattle. And both of them are on the road twice.
I'm declaring my belief in Geno.
Unreal. I don't believe that. I'll just call that an overreaction at the moment. I do believe it can happen. It's entirely possible. Right now, they're a half game in front. They're playing better than San Francisco right now. But that stretch, man, that stretch is where it's all about.
Yeah.
Home for San Francisco, at Dallas, at San Francisco, at Seattle, at Philadelphia, home for Seattle.
Gauntlet.
What else?
Rich, you love this man. I love that. I'm ready to say he's my second son.
Baker?
A.J. Brown. It's time to talk about A.J. Brown as offensive player of the year.
You're damn straight. This is going to be nuts. Like right now, NFL honors.
Is
Las Vegas, Nevada.
I have no idea who's winning any award.
The three people will be Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey, and A.J. Brown.
Correct.
And the fact that A.J. Brown right now, right now, can be said with a straight face and legitimately an offensive player of the year candidate, while Christian McCaffrey has scored a touchdown in 17 straight games, including his 14th game of his career on Sunday, in which he caught one for a touchdown and ran one in the same game.
Yep.
He's one behind Marshall Faulk for the all-time record.
Wow.
Okay. And Tyreek Hill became the first player since 1961 to have 1,000 receiving yards in his first eight games. And we're saying A.J. Brown's a legitimate candidate to win it over the two of them because he has, for the first time ever, had six straight games with 125 or more receiving yards. And he makes one physical circus catch after another.
Every
one hand stuff,
a highlight catch.
Both two knees down or one knee down and two toes down with one hand on the ball.
It was insane, that touchdown, the first one in the left corner.
You are 100% spot on. This is not an overreaction whatsoever. And the fact that we are legitimately saying it while Tyreek's doing what he's doing and McCaffrey's doing what he's doing says everything you need to say about A.J. Brown.
And that Titans trade looks dumber
Which is another reason why, again, we're recording this on a Monday for Tuesday's trade deadline day. Go for it. Go for it. And I know A.J. Brown was a draft day trade,
It's a move that you make. Are you serious about winning?
Does anybody remember right now what the Eagles gave up for A.J. Brown?
Nope.
Does it matter what they gave up for A.J. Brown?
I have no idea what
they
gave up. No idea.
What else you got over there, Chris?
Rich, I like this one a lot, and I think you're going to like it too. There's something going on with the Chiefs, right? We can all agree with that.
There's something weird going on. What's going on?
They don't look like the Chiefs.
That's because there's nobody taking the top of the defense off,
Rich,
like crazy.
The Chiefs' offense misses Eric Bieniemy more than they miss Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's nutty. Get out of here.
Last year, Rich,
come on.
Did they have Tyreek Hill last year?
No.
Did they win the Super Bowl?
They did.
Did they have Eric Bieniemy?
They did.
What is missing this year from that whole equation?
Anybody that can catch the football outside of Travis Kelce.
What do you mean? Rashee Rice is a rookie. He scored three times. Okay. They bring Mecole Hardman back. He's a guy that's familiar with the offense. Justin Watson is out there doing his thing. They have all kinds of receivers.
They have the same play caller.
Missing play caller. Eric Bieniemy. Look what Sam Howell's doing.
I get it. Yeah, but did you say that 2 weeks ago when we were on the show last week? Did you say that?
I don't remember.
About Sam Howell?
I don't remember.
Did you have the same intensity about Sam Howell?
Sam Howell had 400 yards and four touchdowns. He's making all these guys look good.
You know why?
Where's Eric Bieniemy?
Do you know how he scored
four Washington.
Do you know how he scored four touchdowns? Why Howell looked the way he looked against the Eagles?
Elite hair?
No.
Oh.
No, it could be that.
No.
Well, it's a combination of things. It's not just that. But he read the Twitter feed of Magic Johnson.
He needed to score more than 7 points.
He saw from Magic Johnson it's tough to win in this league when you score 7 points.
That's true. We confirmed that.
Honestly,
1.6%.
It had not struck me until I read that tweet from Magic. Or pardon me, post.
What's going on with the Chiefs, man?
There it is. I mean, when you read this tweet.
He's right.
Disappointing 14-7 loss for my Commanders to the New York Giants. It's hard to win in the NFL when you only score 7 points.
Well, the Chiefs only
scored. Howell took that to heart.
I know, but the Chiefs only scored 9 yesterday, so it's hard to win. You only score 9.
Very difficult. Certainly when you turn it over 5 times, 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles.
What's going on with that?
They do miss Bieniemy, of course. They missed their ability to take the top of the defense off.
MVS. That's why you have that guy.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
But I still think the Chiefs are going to wind up in the AFC Championship game.
You do?
Anyway. I do. Of course I do. Of Of course I do.
Wow.
I don't know who they're playing.
You're just afraid to say anything bad about KC right now. I understand.
Why am I? Why?
I understand.
Why? Because I'm calling their game?
You're still snake bitten from last year, yeah, okay. That whole debacle. Right. I get it.
Okay, what else you got? I'm going to see them. I'm calling their next game in Germany. Can't be more excited. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 out here. Middle of the afternoon in Frankfurt, Germany. Dolphins, Chiefs, let's go.
Pretty excited for you. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Rich, the Bengals are back. They're going to be back in the AFC Final Four.
Oh, yeah, brother. I can't say that's
Bengals
an overreaction.
Are back.
I can't say that's an overreaction at all. I can't say that's an overreaction.
We thought their season was over.
Look at Burrow screaming.
Man, he was hype.
Yelling.
He had like a 20-yard run yesterday. Calf is fine.
21 of 23 in the first half. 49ers sitting on that loss to Minnesota, coming off of sitting on that loss to Cleveland. They are home, and they get roasted by Joe Burrow in the first half. And
roasted.
By the way, Joe Mixon was running with reckless abandon. Daniel Jeremiah said it perfectly, how Miami's got two great receivers, right? Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They have three. I'm telling you what, I don't believe it's an overreaction coming off of that game because we've seen the Bengals play like this the last 2 years. This is the Bengals team as they're sitting there 1-3, 0-2, 1-3. They're like, let's just get Joe back healthy and we're going to be good. And look what's happened. Joe's back healthy. They've won three in a row. Week 9,
yeah,
Cincinnati hosting Buffalo on Sunday Night Football.
Let's go.
Let's go. And then they're home for Houston. The game against Baltimore on a Thursday night, a short week game.
A game they almost won week two when Joe wasn't healthy.
That home for Pittsburgh at Jacksonville on a Monday night. Some serious games, including the game at Kansas City on New Year's Eve.
Tough schedule.
I totally believe. I get it.
Here's the thing
that's kind of crazy. Like right now, you look at the Final Four. Is it the four teams that are 6-2?
Maybe.
And I'm saying somebody's going to lose their seat to the team that's currently 4-3, but it's not just any team, and it's not just any quarterback.
Right, exactly.
I totally think this is not an overreaction. It's not. I think you can make a very good case.
All right, last one, and I'll admittedly tell you that I wrote this at halftime, and I had a bunch of wine.
Okay. Great caveat.
Okay. This is going to be the year. The Chargers are going to win a playoff game this year.
All right, dude.
Here's the deal. You want to know how I knew?
So they're going to be in the Final Four.
They're going to win a playoff game.
If they win a playoff game, then the Chargers are in the AFC Final Four.
Yes, I'm saying it.
Okay.
They're going to win a playoff game.
So then the Chargers and the Bengals are in the AFC Final Four.
Yes.
And so give me the two that are out.
Chiefs are out.
And who else is out?
Ravens.
So it's the Chargers, Dolphins, Jaguars, Bengals Final Four.
Yes.
Are you still drunk?
It's possible. I'm calling it right now. You know how I knew the Bengals, the Chargers were serious?
Yeah.
Brandon Staley shaved his beard.
I saw that too.
Shaved his beard. I knew he was serious.
I should have asked Daniel Jeremiah about why I did it.
Shaved the beard.
Dude, it's the Chicago Bears.
Echo is back.
All right. It's the Chicago
Echo
Bears.
Echo is back.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Bajan's dad was at the game. They should have been scared.
Daniel Jeremiah said the Bears are so bad that they're 10 players away from being 10 players away. He said those words on the Rich Eisen show today.
It was pretty funny.
Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. The Chargers have a very talented team. They do have the ability to make the playoffs and then go into a spot like where are you telling me they're going? Is a 7th seed? You tell me they're going to Jacksonville again?
No. What if they're the
6th seed?
What if they're the 5th seed? They go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens.
Dude, the Baltimore Ravens would beat the tar out of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Talent for talent, roster on offense.
Bro,
Chargers are better.
Let me just tell you again, and this is not a Harbaugh thing. I have seen the Baltimore Ravens in person. I have seen them in person.
Rich, you were in London.
I saw them in person. I saw what they can do. I see what that defense looks like. I see it. It's just because you think they're not going to beat you outside with their wide receivers that they can get got. And my answer to that is no, thank you. They do have
what if
major big time ability and they're really physical.
Seven seed. They can go into Kansas City and win.
Who?
Chargers.
Okay. I'll just say this. Right. Can it happen? Of course. I'm not going to sit here, but right now, coming off of the Bears game, that's an overreaction.
Might have been the wine.
Okay. Now I know what you're doing on Sunday nights. All right. It's now time to wrap things up. Chris Brockman, okay. What's your prediction as to what we will be overreacting to?
I felt good about my one last week.
1 week later.
Here's what I'm going to be overreacting to. It's funny. We kind of have the same one. I'm going to say the Seahawks after this week. We're going to say the Seahawks are Super Bowl contenders.
Because you think they're going to beat Baltimore.
I think they can beat Baltimore.
And that they will, that will be an overreaction.
Overreaction. Because, you know, they'll be 6-2.
You don't believe in Baltimore. You keep crapping on the Ravens.
I don't believe
in Patriots.
I don't really believe in it. A little bit. And I don't really believe in Seattle either. But
is that Eric Moulds hatred? Is that what it is?
Eric Moulds. And I think that's the overreaction is that, oh, Seahawks, man, they could be a Super Bowl team when they're not quite at that level.
Okay.
Yet.
I understand that. I switched mine.
Oh, you did?
I did. Last week, I almost got it right.
You were very close.
Well, I said we'd be overreacting to that the Rams season was over.
Right. And it's
because I thought they were losing Dallas. Well, it is now because I didn't see Matthew Stafford potentially having a throwing thumb injury.
And we still have no idea how long he's going to be out.
Right. I mean, that doesn't sound like...
It sounds like IR is a possibility.
Yeah, what it sounds like to me is, you know, Brett Rippon will be your starting quarterback for the Rams. You know, at Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's a bye, so I don't know what's coming after that. But here's my overreaction.
Okay.
We're going to be coming on this show next week on Overreaction Monday, and one of your topics will be the Bills are dead.
Oh!
That they are done.
Oh, man. You know what's funny? I almost did something
Joe Burrow is going to do to the Bills what he did to the 49ers. Done. And that the Bills are done at 5-4. And all I will say is, I will just remind you, once upon a time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were 500 on a Thanksgiving weekend loss to the Chiefs.
Good one.
Who they wound up turning around and seeing in that Super Bowl in that stadium and beating them.
Spanked them. Okay.
So I do believe.
Good one.
The 5-4 Bills coming off of a wound-licking loss to the Bengals and Joe Burr in Cincinnati, that we will be coming on the air. And you will be saying the Bills are done.
Okay.
That is my prediction for Overreaction Monday next week. That wraps up this edition of Overreaction Monday for this week. Thanks, Chris. Great stuff,
great
as always.
Job, Rich.
And thanks to everyone out there for taking an Overreaction Monday. If you're watching on our YouTube stream, we appreciate that. You can listen to us where all podcasts are acquired. Thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network helping create the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, on which What the Football, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask comes your way on Tuesday with Hall of Famer and Raider great Howie Long as the guest. That wraps up this edition of Overreaction Monday. Thanks for taking it in.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.